This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Saturday Magazine, sponsored by Velocity Rewards,
your award-winning loyalty program for Virgin Australia's frequent flyers.
Hey, you. Yeah, you, in the car. Did you know that over half of the people who listen to Joy are allies of the LGBTIQ plus community, just like you? So you may not be aware, but times are really tough financially at Joy, and we're reaching out for your support. So tell your siblings, your workmates, heck, even wind down your window and tell someone else stuck in the traffic to head over to joy.org.au and help us build Joy Nation by making a donation. Joy, your voice, your radio station.
Melbourne's lovable radio station, Joy 94.9.
You are on Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9. We're just trying to get hold of Angus McClelland, the CEO of Mental Health Victoria. Have we got you this time?
We have indeed.
Oh, fantastic. Look, thanks for your time. Can you tell us who is Mental Health Victoria and what's your role as CEO and how did you come to be established, this organisation?
Sure. Well, Mental Health Victoria is an independent peak body for organisations that work within or intersect with the mental health sector. So we've come into existence really on the back of the crisis that we faced here in Victoria around the mental health system and the access and outcomes for people. The organisation itself started around about 35 years ago under a very different name, and it had quite a narrow focus on a small portion of the mental health system. But a couple of years ago, we sat back and thought, well, we needed to work as a coalition across the mental health sector and engage a vast range of organisations and interests to work together to campaign for change. So that means a diverse group of organisations, including, you know, perhaps the usual ones that you might think about, like hospitals and so on, but also the medical colleges, care and consumer groups, unions, police association, etc., have all got on board to work collaboratively towards change and to campaign. And that's been quite successful, I have to say, in the last couple of years. We're very pleased with where things are going. So my job as CEO, I'm an outsider sort of coming into the mental health system about 3 years ago. But my job is really to raise the flag and campaign and work, you know, across the system and the sector to, achieve better outcomes for Victorians living with mental illness.
Well, I think clearly, Angus, it's Fiona here. You've been doing a great job. We wanted to talk about the recent Royal Commission that we had in Victoria into mental health. With the outcomes, do you think that we learned anything that we didn't already know? And, you know, what's the best way to proceed and achieve the policy development we need in mental health?
Yes, so it's, I guess in terms of the process, we're roughly halfway through the Royal Commission process. So it's 2 years, and it finishes in October this year. And the report that was put out in October last year was really a taking stock, and this is a summary of where we sit in terms of the challenges and the opportunities that that we have here in Victoria. There are a bunch of recommendations, interim recommendations that the government's accepted and work is underway to start implementing them. Those were mostly around some, I guess, foundational work around capacity building, so workforce and what have you, but also to start doing some work around service innovation as well. So one of the really interesting recommendations is the establishment of a peer-led and designed and delivered residential mental health service based on a New Zealand model that's been very successful. But in terms of making sure that it all fits together, probably one of the most important ones has been recommended is a collaborative centre for mental health and wellbeing here in Victoria. But one of the biggest problems that we face, and we get this feedback from families and individuals across the state, is that there's a terrible lack of integration and a lack of access to services, and everything's delivered in a silo. The idea of that centre is to bring all of that together and to do some really smart research and use that to change practice to make services more effective and inclusive and safe for people, and to make sure that everything that we do has a really good evidence base. So that's a really important part of it. But really, the main game is this year. There'll be more hearings and a final comprehensive report that will cover the entire system and have some very deep and far-reaching implications for the state. So we're sort of halfway through the process, but we should all be very optimistic, I have to say, because you know, we've got what we want. We've got a major change program that's underway, and once we see those recommendations, we should be, I think, confident that there will be a major impact for, you know, for people over the next 5 to 10 years in the state.
So, Angus, you know, when you reflect on this process and the initial report that we've seen, you know, the some of the findings that have come out, and potentially what will come out in the final report, there's a difficult question. So far, have your expectations been met in terms of what the Royal Commission has found so far?
Yes, I mean, by and large, yes. I mean, the findings and the information that you see in that very long report reflects everything that the various stakeholders have been saying for a long period of time. But it was good to see it, consolidated into a single report, and to have, validation in many ways of all of the things that the people have been saying for a long period of time. The challenge now, of course, is to fundamentally transform a system that was designed 20 or 30 years ago for a population 20 or 30 years ago, and to do something that's completely new and effective for all the various interests and needs of the Victorian population that, of course, change over time. One of the biggest immediate challenges that we have is that there's very little for people between, for example, a general practitioner and hospital. And we've seen a terrible surge of presentations to hospital emergency departments over the past 10 years, a tripling relative to regular emergency department presentations. And basically every 6 or 7 minutes we have someone arriving in an ED because they haven't been able to get any service in the community. And the key thing that we want to do is to make sure that the new system encourages and supports people to get the services that they need in the community before they get into such a crisis point that they have to go to hospital, which is really the last place we want them to go.
Well, I was concerned, of course, about the extent of the issues in regional Victoria. I mean, for young people that are suffering from mental health issues, there could be few and far between people that could be assisting in particularly with young youth and suicide and all sorts of other situations. And they have to drive, for days to get to the nearest town where they can actually see somebody. So, I mean, would there be the potential that this centre that is being developed can be something that can roll out across the state?
Oh, the centre itself is more about driving whole of system change and so on. But there are quite a number of, developments afoot that will assist that. Both the Royal Commission has flagged that workforce, and in particular being able to attract and retain people into regional Victoria, is a key challenge and a key priority. At the same time, the Productivity Commission, which is a national inquiry into the economics of mental health, is examining that issue from a national level. But one of the things that we'll see coming out of all of this is incentives for people to train and stay and practice and work in regional Victoria. There will be overseas recruitment campaigns to expand the workforce, and we tend to joke about getting Brexit refugees, you know, skilled mental health workers from the UK coming out, but there will be work, I'm sure, to bring people from overseas to fill some of the immediate gaps. But what we have to do is to make sure that we can create mental health as a really attractive a career option for young people who are, you know, thinking about what to do in terms of their careers, and also for people that are retraining, career changing later in life. And there are some great you know, lifestyle and other benefits associated with, you know, working in regional Victoria.
Oh, absolutely. It is a beautiful part of the world. With the recent bushfires, of course, we would see a great deal more pressure on the mental health system because of the people that are surviving, the challenges that they're facing. What would you say about the situation as it is at this moment that's really important in those country areas?
Yes, and we've seen, of course, post the fires in 2009, that the consequences are really far-reaching, and the effects are still being felt, you know, more than a decade on. So in terms of designing and developing services, we need to fundamentally make sure that's part of the service architecture for the state. It's not something that you can suddenly bolt on every time there's a natural disaster. And part of the challenge will be to make sure that we do have really good services in regional Victoria that that can respond and can assist people when they need it. And it's not just about you know, having services in a centre or in a hospital. It's not appropriate for many people. It's services in the home or services online that can assist. So having a whole suite of options for people and giving them choice and control over, you know, how they actually go about accessing will be absolutely fundamental. Of course, it will be expensive for the state, but you know, we've argued from an economic perspective for a long time that we've underinvested and there are great returns. So there was a lot of, you know, sort of talk in the media about the proposed levy for mental health that was one of the recommendations. We're very happy to have a dedicated source of mental health funding to, you know, to pay for all of these new services. And the return for the state will be massive if we put aside all of those social and health and human rights arguments that, to be frank, haven't worked in the past. If we use an economic argument, it will be great for Victoria in the long run, and we've got to think in those terms.
Look, thanks, Angus. We look forward to the final report, and we'd love to have you back on when that final report does come down. I know, as CEO of Mental Health Victoria, you probably can't comment on how the government is going to fund it. I don't think they've decided yet. But you'll steer away from that one, I know. But
yeah, so long as the money's there, that's what we're happy with. How they do it, that's up to them.
Yeah, we don't want Tim Pallas and Martin Foley chasing you around regional Victoria with a big stick. So, look, thanks for your work, and we look forward to talking to you again once the Royal Commission brings down its final report. I know we're going to be speaking, hopefully, to the Chair of the Royal Commission at some time in the future.
Oh,
so, look, thanks for your time. Thanks for bearing with us, getting the connection right this morning. And thanks for sharing your thoughts with us.
No, pleasure. Thanks for having me on the program.
It's a pleasure.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.